the good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Okay, let's all greet each other. Give everybody a hug. And now that you're seated, let's stand again. I want all of you to turn and look at Jim Fleck in the sound booth. He's got the earphones on. Let's give Jim a hand. Next Sunday's Jim's last Sunday with us. He's been driving down from Vero for 8 years, an hour each direction, and a church 5 minutes from his house has offered him a position, and he's going to be with our blessings. We love him. He's going to be accepting that in 5 minutes over and back. He could go home and take a nap while he's still working. but he said he'll fill in for us whenever we need him. And Jim, we love you and praise God for you. Thank you for the last 8 years. You're awesome. Amen. Give him a big hand. So next Saturday, as you know, is Father's Day weekend. And Saturday, we've got Mark Nichols, the founder and the owner of DOA Lure Company. And the story goes that Mark was homeless years ago, picking up scrap plastic around town, carving lures, melting the plastic, pouring, and when he got a baggie full of lures, he'd take them to local bait shops and sell them, and that's how he got started. And now DOA is an international name, and in fact, years ago, when one of our men worked for him, they were offered $10 million for that company years ago. And so he's an accomplished fisherman. I'll be in prayer for him. I love him. I've been sharing Jesus with him for years. And just pray for him with us next Saturday. He's going to be giving us a fishing clinic, and we're going to have kielbasa's cooked on the grill and a big ham and some other great things. We want to know how many of you men are coming, and if you're bringing children, grandchildren, you know, grandsons, whatever, you can bring granddaughters or whatever, if you want to bring some of the girls if they love to fish. So how many of you are coming? Would you raise your hands? Would you stand? Let's stand. We want to count you. You're coming next Saturday. And okay, good, good. All right, that's a good start. Thank you. And encourage y'all to invite folks to come. And we're going to just have a great time together. 10 o'clock, straight across the street at Shepherd's Park. And then next Sunday, we've got gifts for the dads. As you know, we're recognizing the three categories of dads especially, and want to encourage you to use that as an inviting opportunity to invite some men, some dads, to come and be with us for that weekend. We want to ask you to take part in our life groups, and a great way to meet the church in a smaller way and get connected with some folks. And then be in prayer for our Vacation Bible School coming up June 16th through the 20th. And Allison, where's Allison? There she is. Do we need anybody else? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. And we want to acknowledge Allison and Alan. They're the dynamic duo. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Vacation Bible School is the number one outreach for children in the United States. There's more children led to Christ through Vacation Bible School than any other program, activity that's done in sharing the gospel. So I want to encourage you to help us get the word out. I think we've got, 75 enrolled right now or something like that, I've heard. Okay, good. Excellent. So, and then also be in prayer for our 4th of July musical coming up, and as we celebrate the country that God's given us and where he's placed us. And if you're our guest today, we want to invite you to fill out the little form in the heart publication, place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you. God bless.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you for a beautiful morning, Lord, and we want to just tell you that we love you and we praise you, Lord, and we want to ask you, please, blessings on these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.
Praise team. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. And a couple of housekeeping announcements. We've still got some baby bottles for Crisis Pregnancy Center. If you'd like to take one to put your loose change in on the way out, they would appreciate that. We would appreciate that also. And then where's Mike Dowdy? Mike, where are you? Would you stand right here? Yellow tie. Turn around. Let them see you. Mike is going to be our head chef over at the park Saturday, and he needs a propane grill. No, he doesn't need it. Sit down, Mike. Sit down. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. So we've got the grill. Do you need any helpers? No, got help? Okay. Got your grandsons, and okay, good. Good, wonderful. Well, we're going to have a great time and want to encourage y'all to come, invite folks to come. Great outreach. Even if you can't tie them up and throw them into church, you can get them to a park for a fishing clinic, okay? So give it a whirl and see what happens. Today I'd like to talk to you about a passage. It's kind of unusual in the nature of it, the way it refers to the gospel, the Spirit of God, guarding our golden gospel. The treasure of the gospel. And I want to begin by asking you the question, how valuable is the gospel of Christ? The good news of Christ. We say that, you know, what is the priority of the gospel in our life? And what? How do we hold it? How do we esteem it? Today we're going to look at several ways we're to guard the gospel, several ways we're to propagate the gospel and the way God wants us to do it. Now, talking about valuable things, I've got in my pocket, I had someone give me this 1 ounce silver coin, and it's it's a temple coin, and it's got Trump on it with him wanting to help them, I guess, rebuild the temple. So I know all of that sounds familiar. Can I hear an amen? And but this 1 ounce coin is worth about 35 in bullion price and about 40 if you bought one, $40. So, you know, much more valuable than a quarter, a half a dollar, an Eisenhower dollar in your pocket. So 1 ounce of silver. This is 10 grams of 9.99 gold. How much do you think this is worth? It's that thin, 10 grams, $1,065. So very valuable, gold. But what is gold in heaven? Pavement. It's called pavement. So we think about valuable things in our life and things that are important to us, things that mean something to us. And it's important for us to recognize that the gospel, this new good news, great news, the most valuable news, is the most important thing in our life. And it should be held in such high esteem, and also it should be shared vociferously. In case you don't know what that means, it means very actively and aggressively. So I want us to look at a passage together. If you got your Bible, 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and discipline or a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, Paul said. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So we see, first of all, some contrasts that are in this passage when it relates to the gospel and the power of God with the gospel. The first contrast is that God says, we're not to have fear or timidity. Now, those seem to be different degrees of reaction. Fear is like complete retreat, complete defeat, fear. Timidity, we might think of as like shyness or humility somewhat. But God said he doesn't give either of those spirits to us. God gives us power. God gives us the power of God. And one of the things I think that's causing such timidity and fear in the church today is we're grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. We're not being controlled and driven and carried about by His Spirit. Our consciences are not clear and clean. Our lives are not clear and clean. And therefore, the Spirit of God is retreating from us and not giving us that natural timidity. Through the years in leading thousands of people to Christ personally, it's been amazing to me to see the power, the boldness, the aggressiveness of baby Christians when they first come to Christ. And really, that is their best time to win other people to Christ. I know when I first got saved, I saw Jesus everywhere. It was just Jesus everywhere. And literally, I couldn't be alone with anybody at all for any length of time that I wouldn't share Christ with them. I'd share my testimony. I'd witness to them. I mean, it got so bad that when the TV repairman came to our house, my mother took me aside and said, "Now, Daryl, we're paying him by the hour. Don't witness to him." And I said, "Mom, I can't make any promises." And within 30 minutes, I was behind the TV with him, and he prayed to receive Christ. And so my mother said, "I forgive you since you led him to Jesus." But what happens is we get older in Christ, we start taking it for granted, or maybe we've been not real aggressive about it in the first place. And we need to question that. And we see here that God says that we don't have fear, but we have power, love, and discipline. Or power, love, and a sound mind, it says in King James. And he replaces our fear with this great trifecta, power, love. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. If you're thinking about a loved one and you know they don't know Christ, and you're thinking, I don't want to offend them, I don't want to lose the relationship, how much do you really love them? How much do you really love them? Do you love them enough to fight through all that to make sure they have a relationship with Christ? I think perfect love casts out all fear. There's times in my life where I've been reticent about witnessing to someone, and I've thought, how much do I love them? When people are sweet to me that I don't know out in public, like a helpful on the phone or in a store, or when people come up and initiate a conversation, I always take that's the Holy Spirit of God putting them my radar on them. I'm like a pointer hunting dog. My tail comes up. I do like this. You know, this one's ready. This one's ready. And so when someone comes to you and they start talking to you and they somehow there's something that's caused them to put you on their radar, we need to recognize that that's God directing us to them with love. And we see in John 14:27 that he says in Scripture, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He tells us, I don't give you that spirit. I don't give you the spirit of fear, but I give you power. I give you anointing. I give you my presence. I give you my convicting force to lead people to Christ, to draw people closer to him, to overcome their objections. And then he's talking about not only is there power and love, but discipline. The discipline of it. A sound mind, an ordered mind, an organized mind, an intentional mind. And we need to be preparing ourselves to share. I love Tom Snipes in the life of our church. He's always wearing a shirt with a top pocket, and it's always full of gospel tracts. I'm a little worried for him because he's got a new tract that looks like a $1 million bill. He's got a whole stack of them in there. I think if he goes in the wrong place at the wrong time, he might be in trouble with those gospel tracts. But he's disciplined. He's prepared. He's constantly out there sharing the gospel and identifying with the Lord Jesus. So this is one contrast. Secondly, we're not ashamed, but we're suffering. We're not ashamed, but suffering. We see this in verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Is there anyone here that if I asked for testimonies could say, I have recently suffered for the gospel? That it's cost you anything? Now, across our nation, there's been teachers that have lost their jobs for putting a Bible on their desk, talking about Jesus in class. There's coaches that have lost their jobs for praying with the athletes and praying before games. I love through the Bible Belt when the public schools have outlawed the public prayer for football games. And so all of the people there turn their radio to a certain channel, and a MC on the channel leads them all in the Lord's Prayer, or leads them all in a prayer, and they all turn their they used to all turn their radios up, and they bypassed the PA system to say, we're going to stand with Christ. We don't care what you say. So we see here, there's a movie I want y'all to watch, all of you. It's called Woodlawn. Look it up. You know, it's a true story. It's kind of a documentary. The Alabama state championship of two of the most powerhouse football teams that had both given their lives to Christ during the beginning of the season. And both of them had fought through their schedules and became the opponents for the state championship. And because of their testimony, they practiced together before the championship. And they said that game was like a stadium revival. When it got to that point, they had to have the game in the University of Alabama stadium. Largest high school football game ever attended in the history of the United States. They sold out all the seating in there. Tens of thousands. They had 10,000 people in the parking lot that couldn't get in for the high school championship. They're about to lead in prayer. They'd gotten this chaplain to lead in prayer. School superintendent turned off the PA system. The guy went to the middle of the football field, stood there, started the Lord's Prayer. And however many thousands were in there, 80,000, 70, however many thousands were in there, 10,000 more in the parking lot, all did the Lord's Prayer. They could hear it all over downtown. I think it's Tuscaloosa. You got to watch it. It's amazing. But not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Christ, willing to stand with him. In my devotions this week, this passage really hit me relating to this in Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 40. You know the story. It's very familiar. The disciples are witnessing. The Pharisees are wanting to really exterminate them. Gamaliel stands up and said, if this is not of God, it'll go away. He mentioned some examples. But if it is of God, we don't want to fight it because we'll find ourselves fighting God. And then it comes down to this. So they took his advice, verse 40, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus and then released them. They beat them and released them. So what did they do? They went home afraid. No. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Amen? That's us. It's supposed to be us. Don't let anyone silence you. Don't be ashamed. Be willing to suffer. And we are not ashamed because of our trust in verse 12. For this reason also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Here we see the Apostle Paul saying, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. And because I know Jesus, I'm going to keep on keeping on. And I'm willing to suffer for it. If it costs me something, so be it. I'll pay it. Then we see the third contrast, not works, but grace, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. I've been watching on television recently, they've been running this clip of President Trump saying something to the effect of, with all I've done, I should get to heaven. If this isn't enough, it should be enough to get me to heaven. Well, I'm praying for him. I've grown to love him. But Donald Trump, that's not grace. And no, all the great things you've done for our nation, patriotic things, righteous things, moral things, It's not enough. Only the grace of God. Amen. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. His mercy. I share Christ because I love him and I'm grateful, not because I'm trying to earn anybody's respect or try to get some notches on my gun. I do it only because I love Jesus and I'm grateful for what he's done. And I want everyone to have it. Everyone. Everyone. And I know he does. I've told people, they say, well, you know, it's easy, but some have said, usually they're pastors, easy believism, you know, Daryl, you're always sinner's prayer, this and that, easy believism. And I said, well, here's my thoughts on that. When I stand before Christ at the judgment seat, Daryl Patrick Orman, it's your turn, come up here. And I stand there. I don't think Jesus is going to say, Daryl, you prayed with too many people to receive me. You did the sinner's prayer too many times. I don't think that's going to happen. Do you? I think even still in my life, he'll say, there was those times, and I'll say, you're right, Lord. I failed in those. Please forgive me. As a basketball player at Northwest Junior College, my sophomore year, I was not saved my freshman year. I got saved the spring of my freshman year. I came back as a believer. There was a girl on campus named Teresa. She was a cowgirl. She wore cowboy boots, blue jeans, a cowboy hat, drove a pickup truck. She was rough. Two-fisted drinker, could fight better than any guy on campus. But she heard I'd give my life to Christ. I played on the basketball team. And so she sought me out one day, and she said, I'm really, really struggling. Can you talk to me about God? And I said, Teresa, there's nothing I want to do better, but I've missed a couple of classes in my world literature class. We've been on the road with the team and stuff. I've got to be there today. Wait in the lobby. And when I come out from class, it's just an hour, I'll talk to you the rest of the day. And she said, okay. So she sat down in the lobby of that building, and I went into the class. When I came out, she wasn't there, and I didn't think about it. So I went back to the dorm. And later that morning, I heard that Teresa had driven her truck down to where the water plant was in the middle of a field at Northwest Junior College in Senatobia, Mississippi. And she had driven her truck. She'd gotten a pistol out of the glove box and killed herself. I've never forgotten that. You know, and I mean, I don't think I was irresponsible. You know, but I never get another chance with her. And so we don't know, you don't know your loved ones. Through the years, I've had people in church life come up, and the Lord kept laying this family member, one girl that headed up our bus ministry in Memphis, the Lord kept laying my father on my heart, talked to him about Jesus, talked to him, kept putting it off, a little bit nervous, thought he'd kind of react. And it was months. And he was in good health for a senior. All of a sudden, he had a massive stroke and just suddenly died. And she said, I'll never get another chance. She said, that's not the end of the story, Pastor. I went to, you know, his funeral, obviously, my dad. And my two aunts were there. They're both believers. And they spoke to me at the service and afterwards. And they both said, for months now, Jesus has been asking us to go talk to him, and we didn't do it. You think about God in heaven. got these believers around this man. Go talk to him. Go talk to him. Go talk to him. Who knows how many others? Go talk to him. Go talk to him. Can't get anybody to go talk to him. I hope that's not us. I hope that's not anyone in here. You don't want to be that person, do you, Darren? No. We see this, that it's not works but grace. And then number four, it's not eternally hidden, but it's now revealed. Look in verse 10. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death. He killed it. He destroyed it. He did away with it and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It was revealed, and now it's completely wide open. Now it's completely revealed eternally. And we need to recognize that. And you and I are part of the unveiling in that situation. Now, I'd like for us to close and look at four actions for guarding the gospel. Look in verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. We see here, first of all, that there's a knowing. For this reason, the rationality, the knowing of it, I know for sure. Our lesson today in our life groups was talking about Joshua, and there's one aspect of it where Joshua was encouraged by God to meditate on the Word of God. We talked about meditation in the class I started, and I was in there teaching that, and there was a great, great illustration in our literature today about that, where a gentleman used the analogy of tea, where you get boiling hot tea and you take a tea bag and you just dip it in, or dip it in a couple times or maybe several times, or you just submerge it and leave it there until the hot water draws all the tea out of the bag and you see the water become dark brown and turn into a rich tea. That's what meditation is. It's not Hindu meditation. It's not New Age meditation. It's not and empty your mind. It's where you actually take the Word of God and you fill your heart with it and you keep dipping it into the hot water and you keep meditating and you keep thinking about it. You keep going. Oh, it's like what we're doing right now as we're rehearsing these verses, where we're putting it in and we're letting it steep and we're letting the Word of God, there's a knowing. And I think no one's had more access to the Word of God, to spiritual things, to Scripture, to commentaries, to understanding than the American people. And yet, there's wholesale massive ignorance among the lay people of Christianity throughout America, ignorance of the Bible. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it do? There's a knowing. And then the knowing brings with it a practical application, a doing. For this reason, I suffer these things, and I'm not ashamed, for I know who I believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard. And we see in the Scripture there's a doing, where the Word of God is coming out of our life in the doing. To guard what I've entrusted to him to that day. We're convinced, and it's leading to action. It's leading to our walk. It's leading to our Christian life as we stand for Christ. And then there's a keeping in verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Through the years, I've had some of you share with me, we listened to the sermon, we heard the Word of God, and we discussed it the rest of the day. We talked about this and that and what the Word of God was saying and what are we supposed to do. That is what he's talking about in the knowing, the doing, and the keeping. Keeping it where you're going to share it and keep it as a part of your life the rest of your life. And then finally, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Guard it. How do we guard it? How do you guard other things? I've got this little clip of gold here in my pocket. I promise you after the service, I'm not going to go throw it out on the sidewalk. I'm not even going to leave it laying here on the stage. And I'm almost anticipating somebody coming up and asking for it. But how do we guard? We don't compromise. We don't give it away. We protect it. We under lock and key, someone said. We take the Word of God and we store it. We hold it. We cherish it. And he says that we're to do it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God in our life. As he takes control of us. As he lives through us. I've thought about what's my number one prayer I prayed my whole life, the entirety of my Christian life. And I'm pretty much certain my number one prayer has been praying for the Holy Spirit to fill me. For a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It's a present tense in the Greek, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And really what it means is be being filled. And, you know, one guy yelled out with the carnal guy praying to be filled at church publicly, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. But we do leak, and we need to be filled repeatedly. It's not, I got that filling, and now I'm filled the rest of my life. No, it's not that. Never was, never is, never will be. It's a continual, it's present tense, it's over and over again. Lord, cleanse me, fill me. Forgive me, fill me. Take me, fill me. And use your Holy Spirit in my life. If you have trouble sharing the gospel, just ask God to give you a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit. I promise you, if he's in control of your life, that you're going to have a natural outflow of the gospel, the presence of Christ, the knowledge of Christ flowing out of your life. In Jude verse 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend, seriously, intentionally, with deep, deep commitment. We guard the gospel. We know it, we do it, we keep it, we guard it. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And I thank you so much for the living gospel of your son Jesus, the good news, the great news. I thank you for the privilege you've given us as human beings, insignificant human beings, to participate with you and share your news with anybody and everybody. And Father, I want to ask you right now to give us all a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Ask you, dear God, to use your Spirit to guard your gospel, this treasure that you've given to us. And I'm sure there's someone under the sound of my voice right now that doesn't know you. They know about you. They know about us knowing about you. But they don't know you. And I ask you, please, Almighty God, to break through in their personal spirit and save them. I want to ask you right now, if you're not absolutely certain of your relationship with Christ, I want to ask you right now in His presence to ask Him into your life and ask Him to save you and just say, Lord, I sense Your presence. Please forgive me and cleanse me. Please live in me. Please take control of me. Oh God, allow Your Spirit to live through my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank You for the privilege to meet today and to look into Your Word. I ask You, please, Almighty God, to pour Your Spirit out upon us. Please, Lord, help us all to live a genuine, godly Christian life in submission to You and Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to extend our invitation now. I want to invite you to do business with God while He's speaking to your heart today. Be seated. Bill, you want to come up here with me, or do you want me to come to you? You want to square around here? This is Bill Habra. And let's give Bill a hand. And Bill says, I'm coming home. So, Bill, how old are you?
95.
Amen.
And I came first joined this church. We moved down from North Carolina. And I joined this church, we went forward in 1999.
Amen.
And we've been here and in and out and up and down and traveled around and everything like that. But here where I came home, I was staying with my my daughter and my son-in-law, it's getting about time to get somebody to help you out.
Amen.
And I just praise the Lord that they're here. I praise the Lord that I'm here. And I praise the Lord for this church and the people that I know here. It's coming home because I know most of you or a lot of you and things like this. We've been in and out of this church quite a bit, coming back in snowbirds and things like this. But it's good to be here and it's good to be with Daryl and the rest of you and be the exciting things that this church is going to show us.
Amen. So how old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
I'm 54.
54, just a child.
Yeah, 71 years ago.
71 years ago. I don't know about that math. But, and you were baptized.
Oh, yeah.
In a creek.
Yeah, no, I was baptized in a regular old-fashioned baptistry in a church.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. How many of you make a commitment to pray for and encourage Bill? Will you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love you, Bill. He's going to sit right here. After the service, come by and pray for him and give him some love. Because, as you know, from what he just said, he gave his life to Christ when he's 120 years old. No. So, praise God, privileged to be your pastor, and excited about what God's going to do for us. Be in prayer for our activity next Saturday, that it'll be a great outreach for men, and that we'll touch some lives, learn some fishing, eat some food. And just want to tell you we love you. God bless. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Daryl Orman.
The next 2 weeks, I want to talk to you about the personality of Jesus Christ and the personality of Christ inside of each of us and God's plan for us to express his personality through our lives. Before we get into it today, though, I want to make you aware, probably most of you are aware, that yesterday, last night, Iran and several other countries attacked Israel with missiles, several hundred missiles. Iran directly, the nation of Iran, along with Jordan, Syria, several others. And our country and several other countries protected Israel. Our Iron Dome shot down 99% of all the missiles. And we want to give the Lord the praise. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that. And we need to recognize that God says, I will bless those who bless Israel and stand with them. I will curse those who curse them. And they are the only democracy in the Middle East. And a longtime ally of ours, and of course some of that's getting shaky now with President Biden and what else is new. But I just want to encourage you to be in prayer for Israel as God instructs us to do. And I also want you to be aware that we are rapidly approaching, like we looked at last fall, the overlay of the Ezekiel wars, Ezekiel 36 through 38. If you take those ancient countries and you overlay them on the current map, especially of even the ones that shot missiles in last night, they are virtually the same now. There's a complete overlay of that historical map from about 3,500 years ago to now. And we need to recognize that the end is drawing near. Now, I've had some people ask if the eclipse was a sign of the return of Christ, and my response was no, because there's eclipses all the time. In fact, we have many eclipses every year all over the earth. You know, some of them are over the ocean and you can't see them. So that's not a particular sign of anything. But these other things definitely are. And so I want to begin this morning, before I get into the message, with us having a word of prayer for Israel and for Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader there. I've been fasting and praying for three particular men in the world that I feel like have been sticking their thumbs, their fingers into the dike, trying to hold back just a lot of evil, and that's President Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, and President Zelensky in the Ukraine. And I've been praying for those three men, for God to put a hedge of protection around them, to strengthen them, to take authority over the spirits assigned to them, and to lift their spirits, encourage them, and give them wisdom and guidance as they defend the three different nations, as President Trump is attempting to do again. And so let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we recognize you as the sovereign Lord, and we thank you, dear God, that you're in control of this world, and we actually see the fulfillment of your prophecies all around us in great specificity. And Father, I just want to tell you I love you. I thank you for revealing these things to us to comfort our hearts, to encourage us, to let us know that you're in control. And Father, I just want to ask you, please, right now, to be with the nation of Israel. Put a hedge of protection around them from all that are attacking them. And we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to use our nation and other nations to assist them and look after them. And Father, if you would, Almighty God, turn back the evil of our nation, the perversion, the lies, the deception, deceit. We pray, Lord, that you would just supernaturally intervene and turn those things back by the power of your spirit, as only you can do. And this morning, I want to ask you to lift our spirits as we look at the personality of your son and how you desire to instill his personality, his living personality, in each one of us. And we pray that you'd illuminate the word and speak to our hearts this week and next week on how we can allow you to take control of our lives and to live through us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 should be a familiar passage for many of you as mature Christians, and we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. First of all, I want to, as an introduction, say that our personality is the fruit of our life. The personality you have, the expressions of the personality in your life, whether you're grateful or whether you're a gripe, whether you've got a loving outlook or you're hateful, whether you forgive or you bear grudges, you know, all of these things are the fruit of your life and the expression of the fruit of your life. And we see in Scripture the Lord Jesus talks about fruit, and he talks about that very thing in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles are they. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And so here we see in Scripture him talking about the fruit of our life. And of course, this is our personality, the expression of our personality, how we live out our life is one of the major aspects of fruit in our life. Now, when we think about Jesus and serving Jesus, graduates, we're going to honor graduates again in another month or so. And all over the nation for years, especially when I was younger and we were all growing up, there was a book by Sheldon called In His Steps. And In His Steps was a book written by a man named Sheldon that said we were to ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do in every circumstance? What would Jesus do and how would he live? And then we were to emulate that in our lives. We were to imitate that, to be an imitation of Christ. And so Sheldon wrote in this particular book. It was given to graduates all over the nation. In fact, at one point, my sister and I both had several copies of it because our church gave it out every year. And when we graduated from different things, we got different copies. But in actuality, that is not really God's plan for the Christian life. That is not God's plan for us to read the Gospels and say, here's the life of Jesus historically, and I want to live that out. I want to imitate that. I want to be like that. I want to do like that. And that would actually be religion. And all over the world, we see in Christian circles or professing Christian circles, people that are trying through their own flesh, their own efforts, their own strength, their own intellect, their own ingenuity to live the Christian life and to live an imitation of what they see Jesus did. But in actuality, that's not God's plan for the Christian life. He does not plan for you and I to take our intellect, our abilities, our understandings, and imitate Christ. His plan for us is to yield our heart and life to him and allow the Holy Spirit of God to come in, take control of our lives, and to produce the genuine life of Christ within us. And that's why the Scriptures refer to it this way, Christ in us, the hope of glory. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God, whom you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price, and therefore glorify God. And so one of the things that God wants us to do, he wants us to learn how to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, to humble ourselves, to take a position of passivity in our Christian life that will allow the Holy Spirit of God to live and duplicate the life of Christ within us. Now, it's interesting, in one of the great passages of dealing with the Holy Spirit and even the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's the scriptures. And so in Ephesians and then also in Galatians. And in Galatians, we see a contrast between the fruits of the flesh, and we're not going to get into those, and the different aspects of the fleshly life, the human life, strife, unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, you know, a number of things, enmities, jealousies, outbursts of anger, factions, party spirits, I've got my group, you've got your group, never the twain shall meet, drunkenness, carousings, and other things. So we're not going to get into all those things, but instead we're going to focus in the next 2 weeks on the personality of Jesus. And he describes it like fruit, just like Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, where he says in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so the very context is saying, here is a thermometer, here is an indicator for you, a test, if you will, for you to determine if you're controlled by God's Spirit. Are these evidences? Is this?
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manna. Thy word is a lamp, the fresh word of God, children of God.
Thy word is a lamp.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.